2016 Chatham County Zoning Board of Appeals meeting. Welcome everyone who's here today. The first item on the agenda is the approval of the January 26, 2016 minutes, which have been previously distributed to the members. Is there any discussion on that matter? Is there a motion?
I move that we accept.
Second.
Probably moved and accepted and seconded that we accept the minutes. We'll vote this time. Guess we can do a voice vote.
Aye.
All those in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Okay. Opposed? And that's our approved.
Great.
The first item on our regular agenda is 605 Old River Road, a various request for an electrical meter. And we'll hear from staff at this time.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. The petitioner, Mr. Damon Lane, is here today to request a variance to Section 3-3 of the Chatham County Zoning Ordinance in order to allow a second electrical meter on a single lot of record. Occasionally, we'll have a petition similar to this. We've had probably two or three in the last couple of years only. But there is a provision within the zoning ordinance that requires that only one electrical meter be allowed per residential lot. The intent of that provision is to ensure that single-family residential lots only have one primary residence on the lot. This particular property, which is about 10 acres in size, it's over 1,300 feet deep, and it's on the west side of Old River Road. As you can see in the tax map, this is the subject property. It's just a little bit, I think it's about a half mile, or not quite a half mile, to the county border, so it's way out there, if you will. The petitioner owns the property, and there's currently a well on the property. His intent is to construct a residence on the property. You can see the aerial map here. There are some single-family residences across Old River Road, but primarily the development pattern consists of large rural lots. His intent is to construct a residence on the property. As you can see on the sketch plan shown here, this is the location of the existing well that is metered, and this is the approximate location of the future residence that the intentioner intends to build. The petitioner has indicated that the distance associated with providing electrical service to the proposed home site from the existing service is impractical just due to the drop in power that would occur. Staff finds that this is a reasonable request in terms of varying the ordinance, and that this does not impair the intent of the ordinance, which is to ensure, as I mentioned, primary single-family residences. Based on these findings, staff is recommending approval of a variance to Section 3-3 in order to allow a second electrical meter for 605 Cardinal Road.
Thank you. Are there any questions of staff? Thank you, Mark.
Thank you.
Petitioner, here.
Morning.
Morning.
Have you signed in?
Yes.
All right. And will you raise your right hand? You swear the testimony you'll present this morning is the truth?
Yes.
Please state your name.
Damon Travis Lane.
Is there anything you'd like to add, Mr. Lane?
No, I think you covered it pretty good. That's what we're trying to do.
Any questions of the petitioner? Thank you.
Okay.
Is anyone here from the public to speak on this matter? Any further discussion? If not, entertain the motion.
I move to approve staff's recommendation to allow the second electrical meter.
Is there a second?
I'll second it.
allow you guys to vote this time?
Yes, sir.
Yep.
Great.
Everyone let me vote.
Are you voting in favor, Mr. Butler?
I might as well, yes.
Okay, well, I updated you here.
Okay. All right, so approved unanimously. Good luck, and thanks for coming.
Okay, thanks. This is on his side for you, boy.
You should be all set to go now.
On this one?
On that one.
Except that's on his star for the new board.
Yes, sir. I'll be logged in. You should be on the county CTA. Yeah,
I am there now.
Great.
The next matter on the agenda is 22 Wiley Island Road. It is a height variance request. We'll hear from staff this time.
Mr. Chairman, the item on the agenda at this time is a request brought forth by Bart Redmond for the Scarborough family. It is a request to amend or to seek a 3-foot height variance from the 36-foot maximum for a new residence. This particular property, which is located at 22 Wiley Island Drive, there was a residence on this property recently. There was a fire at this location. And the petitioner is in the process of rebuilding the home. I should mention that the reason they're here and asking for a variance to the height maximum is that at some point during the building plan review process, the plans that were submitted indicated that the home was taller than the allowed height. Those plans were approved and construction has begun. And in the photos that you see, you can see that these were taken a week or so ago, and the house is obviously under construction, and the plans will exceed the maximum height that was discovered, you know, post-construction, obviously. This is an aerial photo of the former house located right here. You can see there's also a townhome development adjacent to this property. I should add that there were a number of correspondences that were provided for neighbors, from neighbors, some of which are attached to your agenda. Some we received as late as yesterday, including a letter from the Wiley Island Neighborhood Association recommending that the variance be granted. We did not have any negative responses in terms of opposition from neighboring property owners, but we did have several in favor of the request. Based on the fact that there are existing home residences in the area that are at or near or exceed the height maximum, and the proposed height of the new residence will not impact any adjacent properties, staff is recommending approval of the 3-foot height variance request.
Okay, questions, staff?
Yeah, Marcus, who provides fire protection?
I believe Southside Fire Department provides fire protection for this area.
And how come the height difference wasn't caught in plan review?
I can't answer that.
We'll call that the human factor.
Yeah.
There's
lots of things to look at on those plans, and occasionally something does get missed. To be honest, Mr. Redmond brought it to our attention. He wanted to do the right thing.
There was some discussion among staff as to whether or not we should require them to get a variance to continue, but it was determined, I think, in a good choice, because they want to have a conforming residence when they're done with their construction.
Well, I think the reason for the height restriction that has to do with fire protection. And obviously, this lot needs better fire protection.
And that was a factor at the time that the regulations were written, and obviously the technology associated with fire protection is substantially better now than it was then in terms of ladder trucks, et cetera. But,
well, I mean, I'm inclined to grant it just on the fact that it wasn't caught. The construction's underway. Shaving 3 feet off of it at this point would be difficult.
Any other questions, comments, my staffs? You're from the petitioner? Signed in?
Good morning, I'm Bart Redmond, general contractor. I'm the one who brought it to the board's attention.
Have you signed in?
I have.
All right, well, raise your right hand. Do you swear your testimony this morning will be the truth?
I do.
Thank you. Anything to add, Mr. Redmond?
No, I think we pretty much covered where we're at with it.
Any questions, petitioner? Thank you. Is anyone here from the public on this matter? Is there any further discussion? Entertain a motion.
I move to approve. Second.
Moved and seconded to approve.
Is that Corsi that second? Did you second that?
Okay. Yes.
Thank you for bringing it to our attention and getting this through.
Thank you.
Have a nice day.
Good day.
Well, that completes the regular agenda. Is there any other business?
Mr. Chairman, if I might, just a couple of things real quick. I think Jeff wants to brief us on something quick. Before we do that, I just wanted to make the full board aware, and I think I've talked to Mr. Overton already, that as you all know, Constance Morgan, who used to help us on this board, she was out some toward the end of the year. James stepped in for her, and he'll be working with us permanently going forward. Constance is still here, obviously, but she's been being assigned some additional duties, so James will be working with us moving forward.
We're here for all the fun.
And I think Jeff wants to brief us on some information.
I finally have some information on the buffer changes, so I made a copy here of the bill, and I highlighted, the whole thing's important, obviously, but I highlighted, I think, what's most pertinent to this body, and I'm going to go up here to the display because I got...
You want to use the overhead, Jim?
Yeah.
What's your last name, Jeff? Kirk. Kirk. That's an extra. Thank you. See ya. Good luck. Good to see you last night, too, dude. Yeah, nice. Turn around. You and I need to talk about something real quick.
Can everybody see that okay? So as you may remember my crayon drawing from last year, there were some changes in the way the state determines their buffer. It did not change the way the county determines the environmental overlay riparian buffer, but it may have implications when you all grant variances. So if you remember, let's see, can I turn on this pointer? Can everybody see the yellow line right there? That is the county's riparian buffer at 35 feet from the jurisdictional determination. And this is the way, up until this point, the buffers have been handled. If you remember, the state said that their buffer is measured from rest of vegetation, which, you know, may or may not place a buffer on a property that's near the marsh. The law was changed in Senate Bill 101, which you have in front of you, and it was effective January 1st, that all buffers henceforth will be measured from the jurisdictional determination when you're on the salt marsh. So that would make the state waters buffer, which is 25 feet, look something more like this. Which makes it a lot more consistent with our own language, but it does mean that if you consider a variance into the riparian buffer of more than 10 feet, the petitioner would also be required to get a state buffer variance. So I think I would recommend that you put some sort of caveat on a variance like that says pending approval from the state, or I don't know if it would be practical for you to require them to get the state variance first, because it's much harder to get those and it takes a lot longer. It's also much more expensive. So it's just something to think about as a body, and I'll of course be happy to answer any questions or make any recommendations if you all want to have a discussion, and then we can talk about it later. Again, this is for the Environmental Overlay District. Outside of the Environmental Overlay District, we also have a 25-foot setback. That's correct, right, Bob? Outside of the
environment. That's correct.
Okay, so essentially, that state waters buffer is going to shift to right on top of the already existing county riparian buffer outside of the Environmental Overlay District. So, again, any variances that you would grant, and I honestly don't remember any coming up in this part of the county. It's a very small area where you've got tidally influenced waters next to an area that's not in the Environmental Overlay District. So
where would that area be?
I can't.
There's some along the Savannah River. I want to say Coston Bluff is one.
Yeah.
Okay. Spanish Hammock, Estill Hammock, for some reason is not in the Environmental Overlay District. Those are the two that I know right off the top of my head.
And you could have areas further up the Ogeechee. I think the state will claim jurisdiction up as far as either Interstate 95 or Highway 17, but those parcels are usually very long and they have a significant wetland area between the where the state would claim jurisdiction and where, you know, typical construction occurs. So that's I can't remember any of those cases coming before this board for a variance, but you never know. It's something to think about.
Okay.
If you would like to have a look at that, Senate Bill 101, again, I highlighted what is sort of, you know, most pertinent to this board. There is a sort of a built-in variance here or exemption on page 3, section F, and I'm going to get a legal opinion on behalf of the county on this just to make sure that we're enforcing this properly. But if you look at section F, paragraph 2, any lot for which the primary plat has been approved prior to the effective date of this act, if roadways, bridges, et cetera, blah, blah, blah. Let's see. And if the requirement to maintain a 25-foot buffer would consume at least 18% of the high ground of the platted lot. And I know we've got some lots like this in the county that we're going to have to look at and get figure out how we're going to determine 18%. Do we need a surveyor to do that? Is it something that the property owner could show us on an exhibit? But I know, for example, like Sapphire Island has got probably a couple of lots like this where if we impose the buffer, and this is, again, state waters buffer, not the county buffer. If we impose that buffer, you're going to gobble up more than 18% of the upland of that lot, so they get an automatic exemption based on this bill. And there's several other exemptions, but that's the one that seems to be the most pertinent to this body. So when I get a legal opinion on that, I'll be happy to distribute that if you think that would be useful.
Does this exemption apply to our buffer, though?
It doesn't apply to the county buffer. Okay. So they would still have to meet the zoning requirements. Right. But they may not have to preserve that state waters buffer. And again, the state waters buffer is only triggered by land disturbing activity. And it goes away once you complete your land disturbing activity, you know, such as construction, and you're allowed to go in there, do some selective trimming and landscaping and that sort of thing. The intent of the state waters buffer is to stop sediment from moving off of the site during construction and other land disturbing activities. Whereas our county riparian buffer is meant to be more of a permanent, you know, pollution prevention buffer, an aesthetic buffer, and, you know, like a wildlife corridor. It's got all those things wrapped up in it, which is why it's more permanent. So, again, this is just the state buffer, which is what my department enforces.
All right. Okay. Any questions of Jeff?
And I've got business cards if you want my contact information, but I'm pretty sure you don't know how to get a hold of me. And I will mention one more thing before I leave you all alone. There is a new bill, and I haven't read through it entirely, but this rested vegetation rule still exists on freshwater water bodies, and occasionally in the county we've got, you know, old ditches that are not tidally influenced, but would require a buffer as measured from rested vegetation. Because of our topography, sometimes that criteria isn't met because the water just doesn't flow fast enough in our area. So, you know, we know we have a water feature. It ties directly to the salt marsh. It's fresh water, so it's not state jurisdiction. The new bill would change measuring a buffer from the point of rested vegetation, which again is not consistent here in the coast. It works great in the Piedmont, does not work well here at all. They want to change the language to say from the average high water mark, and they'll have to define that. And again, it's still in discussion. It hasn't been approved yet, but I'm going to read up on that. I don't think it's going to change much of what we do here, because the county riparian buffer is measured from the jurisdictional determination. So typically we're talking about bodies of water, because this closes that loophole on the jurisdictional determination from the state. So I don't think it's going to change things for you all that much. I'm going to read up on it and follow it as it develops, and I'll update you as soon as we know what's going on there. We are still waiting in Senate Bill 101. We're still waiting for the variance procedure. They were told they would have those rules by January 1st. They do not. They have not told us anything about how that's going to work, despite direct questions that my department and other agencies have asked. So I don't know. Unfortunately, I can't tell you what's going on there. So we cannot give the public any guidance on how to get a variance from this state buffer right now. And I don't know that they're processing them, because the rules are up in the air. But we can tell them where it's measured from and help them plan that way. And as soon as those rules come out, then we'll know how the state wants us to handle variances.
Right.
Okay, any questions?
All right,
thank you for your time. And again, I'll keep you updated as things change, and we know they always do, so. But I don't think it's gonna change the way you all do business, the way you listen to cases. I think you kind of, you know, you understand what you're here to do. You just need to make sure we don't imply that somebody can go ahead with work inside the state buffer without a variance there also. Thank you.
And if you ever hear us about to do that and forgetting what you asked us to do, remind us.
Yeah. Yeah, what's the code
word? Feel free to advise.
Just say so.
Just okay.
Lastly, what I did ask Marcus to circulate, and he did circulate the order on the LaRoche Avenue matter that was appealed to Superior Court and overturned our decision. I am thinking about asking the county attorney to come and meet with us, maybe in an executive session, to discuss it and how it may impact future decision making, and to discuss our options. Does anyone have any objection to that?
Is that the small lot that?
Yes.
Yeah.
This side of the road.
Yeah. This measuring of the state waters buffer changes the dynamic on that property now, because they had an armored shore, so there was no state waters buffer previously. So they're going to have to get a state buffer variance to do work there now, because it's, instead of being measured from rested vegetation, it's now measured from the JD, and that every year that JD is squeezing in on that property. So that bulkhead or that armored shore is not going to protect them from that state buffer anymore. So they're going to need a county variance as well as a state variance on that one.
And they won't be grandfathered in?
What about that 18%?
Yeah, you know, and that's why I need a legal opinion on that paragraph, because that's true. I hadn't thought about that.
Yeah, my only question on that, because I got the thing from Mr. Hart also with that, and he said basically if Mr. Harris applies for a permit, we would have to issue it. My question is, I could not, if he requested more than what he had requested here, then that would be different. It can't go beyond what he was requested here. Wouldn't that be correct?
Right. Yes. Correct.
Okay.
The only thing he could be granted at this point is what he requested.
Up to that amount.
This board.
This board approved his marsh setback.
Right.
Or did not approve.
I think he wanted a 50-foot or 55-foot front yard setback, yeah. And that would be the maximum that the could be approved without a further variance.
And they overturned your decision not to grant the setback from the road?
Yeah. Yes.
He said we didn't provide any evidence.
Except for the long-standing zoning ordinance?
It's only been a rule for 40 years, but...
I would be very much in favor of having
I would
the county attorney come in.
Agreed. I'd like an executive session with the county attorney to discuss this board's authority.
That's supposed to,
quite frankly.
There was no...
And what the rules of the game are. The way I read this order, as we discussed previously...
The judge didn't even give any reason for it.
We are now...
Who was the judge?
An evidentiary body, more so than an appellate body. And I don't think it's enough for staff to just stand up and tell us what their opinions are.
What's the point of having?
Was it Wamsley? I don't think it was.
Which I don't think was the intent of the design of the board's function.
That's correct.
I'd like to discuss with the county attorney what can be done about this order, given the fact that no one was served early on. Maybe we can move for reconsideration, whatever. And get us in a position to appeal it.
I will reach out to him when I get to my office and see if he can meet with us. Either we can try to set up a time sooner than our next meeting or before our next meeting. Time really may be of the essence, and we probably need to do it sooner than later.
The longer it goes, the worse it gets.
And perhaps a smaller contingent of the board could meet with him, you know, outside of a full executive session, because we will be required to notice it as a public meeting if y'all meet with a quorum. So that might be something you want to consider also.
Okay.
Those open meeting laws, I'm hard to get some things done.
That's right.
We met with him once before about this matter, though. In
an exec session, yes, but that was right prior to a regular meeting, I remember.
Yeah. Right.
Okay. We'll discuss it. All right, anything else? We're adjourned.